WCRI's festival series highlights one of our community's greatest musical traditions, the Newport Music Festival. Since 1969, the Newport Music Festival has hosted over 2,000 concerts in Rhode Island's most prestigious venues, while presenting world-renowned and emerging classical music artists from around the globe. The Newport Music Festival has left an indelible mark on our music history here in Rhode Island, as well as around the world. Now, here's host Mike Mano, along with the festival's executive director, Pamela Pantos.
Good evening, everyone. Happy holidays. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Pamela Pantos and bringing you another episode, shall we say, of the Newport Music Festival's special series here on WCRI. It's that time of year again. And Pamela, you know, the music is everywhere.
Absolutely. You cannot escape it right now.
It's one of those things where you get a certain song in your head and all of a sudden you sing Happy Holidays or whatever it is. But that's a good thing.
Feliz Navidad.
Yeah. All right. Feliz Navidad.
There you go.
I'm not going to have a sing-along. I guess we'll just... So what do we have for our program this evening?
Well, this evening I thought that we could spend some time discussing music that is certainly Christmas-oriented, but a bit more relaxing, spiritual, and ethereal in nature.
Okay.
And this week, we're going to concentrate on the works of Ralph Vaughan Williams, who I believe to be a highly underrated composer. Ralph Vaughan Williams was born in 1872 and died in 1958 and lived for most of his life in England. And he is considered to be the founder of the nationalist movement in English music. And what that means is that his music was characteristically English and that his particular style expresses a deep regard and a fascination for folk tunes, which many of his variations are based off of. So at the same time, his music shows a deep and loving patriotism for England and gives these feelings of ancient lands, which you hear throughout his music. He studied at Trinity College, Cambridge, and in London at the Royal College of Music under two major figures of the late 19th century, Sir Charles Stanford and Sir Hubert Parry. It is very important to note that his great uncle was Charles Darwin.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And the ceramics giant, Josiah Wedgwood, was his great-great-grandfather.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So he had birds and dishes.
And birds on dishes,
yeah,
probably.
Probably.
So he grew up in an atmosphere of great intellectual curiosity as well as being quite well off. So despite the fact that his father passed away when he was only 2 years old, he never fell into that category of the starving artist. He was
right.
Always very well supported. So he got his Bachelor's of Music in 1894 and a history degree, of course, being very well educated the following year. And then he returned to the Royal College of Music, where he became a close friend of Gustav Holst. I mean, the connections here are absolutely unbelievable. And Ralph was to speak of him as the greatest influence on his music, and their close companionship was to last until Holst's death. At one point, Ralph met a talented cellist and pianist, Adeline Fisher, who happened to be the first cousin of Virginia Woolf. We're dropping names here left and right. And they were married when Ralph was 25 years old. So just imagine, you know, the conversations that these people had.
Well, he was like a personality of a Hollywood personality might be today and all connected that way.
Absolutely.
But back in the time, that's the way it was.
Absolutely. Right. And incredible relationships with all these people. So Ralph also studied in Berlin under the noted composer Max Bruch and later in Paris under Maurice Ravel. So he was exposed to many different styles of composition. However, his studies of English folk song and his interest in the English music of the Tudor period really fertilized his talent. And he began to incorporate all of these modal elements, these folk songs, these medieval scales, and a certain rhythmic freedom into his musical style. So I thought we'd start with a piece that is a wonderful example of Vaughan Williams' unique sound, namely the Fantasia on a Theme by Thomas Tallis, composed in 1910. So he resurrects a beautiful tune from a much earlier English era, which fitted in with his particular ideology about his craft. It enabled him to link his own creativity with that of a composer from 350 years earlier, in what would seem like an unbroken strand of musical and cultural continuity, again, feeling these deep English roots. So in this very unique piece, he splits the string orchestra into three parts of three different sizes. There's a large orchestra, and there's a smaller one of nine players, and there's also a string quartet. So it's the structure of these three different groups that provides the contrasts within the work. He also obtained his effects by having the three groups of strings apart from each other when it was first performed in the cathedral, reinforcing the effect of an echo. So you can visualize right. the big orchestra and these other two smaller groups.
Might have been ahead of his time with stereophonic sound.
Absolutely.
Right.
Now that you mentioned it, that's exactly what he was doing. So we're going to hear this piece in its entirety, conducted by the great Sir Neville Mariner and the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields. I think also this being an English orchestra, an English conductor, they really grasp. I listened to many, many recordings of this piece, and they particularly, I believe, grasp the essence of this piece. And it's a particularly magical performance. The pianissimi are fabulously translucent. So I hope that this brings our listeners a moment of repose and peace in this holiday season.
All right. We will listen to that in its entirety and then take a short break and be back with more. Thank you.
Thank you.
We are back to WCRI's special show on the Newport Music Festival series with the executive director of the Newport Music Festival, Pamela Pantos. And I'm Mike Mano, and we're listening to some beautiful music that you've been telling us about, appropriate for the holidays, but not necessarily what people think of as Christmas music.
Exactly. We will get to a little piece of Christmas music in just a bit. But first, let's a little bit more about Vaughan Williams. He wrote in many different genres, including ballet, opera, choral music, incredible song repertoire, and chamber music. As a matter of fact, this summer, the Newport Music Festival will premiere a performance of his piano quintet, never been performed at the festival in our past 49 seasons. The term piano quintet almost invariably implies a work for string quartet, the two violins, a viola, and a cello, plus piano. In the last decades of the 18th century and the first ones of the 19th century, the string quartet had become established as the chamber ensemble par excellence, you know, in terms of the works of Haydn and then Mozart and Beethoven. However, this piano quintet is a little unusual. It has the same instrumentation as Schubert's Trout Quintet, namely piano, one violin, viola, cello, and double bass. So beyond their instrumentation, these two quintets also have one other trait in common, namely a movement of each was inspired by a song belonging to the composer. This score was given to was given by his widow to the British Library after Vaughan Williams' death in 1958, and she finally decided to lift her embargo on the performance of his early works. And this quintet first appeared in print just recently in 2002. And the reason for that was she believed that perhaps some of his earlier works did not have the depth of spirituality that some of his later works had, and she didn't want him to seem perhaps trite. But I think it's quite important to look at the entire panoply of an artist's work, and I think that what you hear in this piano quintet is a freshness, almost a jubilance that you don't hear in some of his later work. So this work is broadly drawn, and it's almost symphonic in conception and texture. And you can hear in this first movement Brahms, Elgar, and his teachers at the time, Parry and Stanford. So let's jump right in and listen to this first movement of his piano quintet. The movement's tempo is indicated as allegro con fuoco, you know, with fire. And it is performed here by the Stockholm Syndrome Ensemble.
Excellent. We'll listen to that and then take a short break and be back with more. Thank you. Welcome back to WCRI's special program on the Newport Music Festival. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Pamela Pantos, the executive director of the Newport Music Festival, and a big, big year this year, the 50th anniversary coming up, and some special concerts that go on other than the traditional summer concerts, right, Pamela?
That's right. Actually, last night we had a concert at Blythewald that was completely sold out in 2 days. And then our next concert that's coming up is at the end of January, on January 26th, at the Newport Art Museum. We will be featuring Serena Huang and Robert Koenig. Serena just won the Elmar Oliveira competition, and she'll be accompanied by Robert Koenig. And they're on a tour right now. So that'll be 7 p.m. on Friday, January 26th at the Art Museum. And the program, as you and I discussed before, is absolutely fantastic. And if individuals are interested in buying tickets, they are available at www.newportmusic.org. Or they can call the box office at 401-849-0700.
All right. Well, then let's get back to this particular program and the music that we've been talking about here. What's next?
Well, the next piece that we are going to hear was composed in 1934, much later than the Fantasia we heard on a theme of Thomas Tallis. However, it is still highly English. It is another Fantasia, namely one on the tune of Greensleeves. Now, Greensleeves is a very old song, and there are many stories associated with that song. However, historians believe now that it was composed all the way back to about 1580 is when it was first composed. And then Christmas and New Year texts were associated with the tune from as early as 1686, but it wasn't till 1865 that the lyrics, "What Child Is This?" of course, for the Christmas season, were written to the tune by William Chatterton Dix. So in the spirit of the season, let's listen to Vaughan Williams' Fantasia on Greensleeves, again conducted by Sir Neville Mariner and the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields. Thank you.
beautiful green sleeves, humming along. I'm sitting in my chair and getting very mellow. We have one more piece of music that we want to put into this program. It's very special, and love to have you tell us about it.
Thank you, Mike. The last piece that we are going to hear this evening has a particularly poignant meaning, both because of the artist performing and the text and the meaning of the piece. We are about to hear the song, Come Away Death, from Vaughan Williams' set of songs, Let Us Garlands Bring, Opus 18. It is sung here by the incredible Bryn Terfel, accompanied by Malcolm Martineau. As our listeners may know, Bryn Terfel and Dmitri Hortovsky had been great friends since the Cardiff Singer of the World competition. They sang Figaro and the Count together in Mozart's Marriage of Figaro. The world mourns the untimely death of the great Russian baritone Dmitri Hortovsky this week. And the Newport Music Festival would like to dedicate this last piece on our program by Ralph Vaughan Williams to him and extend our deepest sympathies to his family.
Find my grave.
Thank you for listening to WCRI's Festival Series featuring the Newport Music Festival. For more information on the festival, special seasonal concerts, to purchase tickets, or to donate, call 849-0700 or visit newportmusic.org.